Have you ever spotted someone across a crowded subway platform and felt your heart stop? That fleeting moment when you're certain you've just seen the love that slipped through your fingers years ago. This is precisely where Matt Shore finds himself, standing on the Bergen Street subway platform day after day, brown bagging the same turkey sandwich, desperately scanning every face for a glimpse of Grace, the green-eyed woman who stole his heart 15 years earlier at NYU. When the F train pulls away one afternoon, taking with it a woman whose mouth forms his name in recognition, Matt turns to Craigslist's missed connections with a post titled, "To My First Wife, the Green-Eyed Lovebird." His hands shake as he types his phone number and a simple invitation. Coffee or a drink? Just to catch up, just to know you're okay. What Matt doesn't realize is that this small act of courage will unravel 15 years of misunderstandings and reveal a truth that will change everything. Their story begins in an NYU dormitory where Grace, with incandescent green eyes and white blonde hair that catches light like spun silver, helps Matt carry a wooden desk to his room. Their connection deepens through shared passions, her cello playing through their wall, his photography capturing her uninhibited joy. They explore New York on $2 a day, selling blood, enjoying free pancake dinners, hopping turnstiles, and eating ramen. Everything changes the night before their Christmas trip to California. Grace arrives in Matt's room wearing black lace underwear beneath a red dress with black flowers. As Radiohead plays, their awkwardness dissolves into tender passion. When he whispers, "I love you," sex becomes both selfless and selfish to Grace, a perfect balance prompting her silent promise to love him always. In California, Matt's mother, Aletha, welcomes Grace warmly, while his father's family remains cold. When Monica, his father's beautiful but venomous wife, tries to humiliate Grace at lunch, she flees embarrassed but returns emboldened by tequila to play a stunning rendition of Pink Floyd on their grand piano, leaving everyone speechless. As graduation approaches, Matt and Grace confront his imminent departure for South America. Despite labeling their relationship casual, their actions suggest otherwise as they try to compress a lifetime into months. Grace avoids discussing the future, seemingly to protect their hearts. When she organizes a special day for their friend group that ends with an impulsive city hall wedding witnessed by a homeless man calling himself Gary Busey, it captures both the joy and impulsiveness of young love. The morning after, reality hits. Matt's suggestion they keep the marriage sends Grace into horrified rejection, deeply wounding him. Their fight escalates until she threatens to join Professor Pornsake's European orchestra tour and Matt storms out. Their conflict illustrates a fundamental dilemma, balancing individual dreams with relationship commitments. Grace fears repeating her mother's life derailing early pregnancy, while Matt's desire to stay married reveals deeper feelings than he's acknowledged. After weeks of silence, Matt finds Grace crying over money troubles. Despite their estrangement, he returns with comfort food and plays Hallelujah on a borrowed guitar, a song he'd been secretly practicing since they attended a Jeff Buckley concert. Before Matt leaves, they get matching tattoos. Hers reading Green-Eyed Lovebird, and his just the ash from a Leonard Cohen quote. Their airport goodbye is tense, with Matt taking her cello practice tape as he boards. Afterward, Grace discovers an article featuring Matt and photographer Elizabeth Hunt announcing their Australian expedition, supposedly taking their partnership to the next level. Heartbroken by this perceived betrayal, Grace joins Dan's orchestra tour. Neither realizes the article was misleading. The partnership was strictly professional. When Matt returns, eager to reconnect with Grace, she's gone. Years later, they discover Elizabeth had intercepted Grace's messages to Matt, writing back that he had moved on, deliberately keeping them apart. When Matt and Grace reconnect 15 years later, they discover a shocking truth. They have a daughter together. Ash, now 15, was conceived during their last night before Matt left. Grace had tried repeatedly to contact Matt when she discovered her pregnancy, during the birth, and when Dan wanted to adopt Ash, but Elizabeth had intercepted all these messages. Matt meets his daughter in a quiet cafe, a moment filled with 15 years of unspoken emotions. Ash, with her father's dark curls and her mother's green eyes, brings a scrapbook of Matt's career that Grace had collected. When Ash says, "You're my dad now, if you want," her voice balances vulnerability and strength. Their embrace, witnessed by Grace's tearful eyes, feels like cosmic timing finally aligning. This revelation forces Matt to reframe his entire life. Every missed milestone hits him at once. First steps, words, school days. When Grace describes Ash's birth in Venice, laboring for 20 hours in a hospital overlooking the Grand Canal, naming her Ash to honor their time together, Matt breaks down completely. As they form a family unit, Ash shows both teenage assertiveness and wisdom, declaring, "Parents are supposed to communicate," while scheduling activities with Matt without consulting Grace. They develop a weekend schedule, sharing Ash's time between households and coordinating school events. Their romance remains undefined until Ash forces the issue during a discussion about Matt's Singapore job offer. When Grace learns Matt had already declined the position, he declares, "I'm never going to leave you guys again. This is where I belong." Grace challenges, "Make me believe it. Make me trust you again." This honesty finally breaks through their remaining emotional barriers. The emotional peak comes when Ash orchestrates a surprise with musicians performing "Hallelujah," the song Matt played for Grace years ago. She sends them on a nostalgic scavenger hunt through significant locations, ending at City Hall where they had married. There, Matt proposes properly. "You're the love of my life. I've always loved you. I loved you when I wasn't with you, and I'll love you until my last breath." The story concludes from Ash's perspective as she witnesses her parents marry at City Hall, her mother radiantly happy. They travel to Europe with the Philharmonic in California before Matt moves in, though he keeps his loft as their Louvre, an art studio where Grace brings food and plays music while they work. A year after the wedding, Ash welcomes her brother Leo. Ash feels fortunate despite her parents' past mistakes. She had two loving fathers and witnessed her own parents fall in love. How many people can say that? She reflects. This journey compels through its honest portrayal of how time and miscommunication derail passionate connections, while showing that sometimes the one who got away returns unexpectedly. Perhaps the most powerful message? The right person at the wrong time can become the right person at the right time if we're brave enough to reach across the years and say, "I remember you. Do you remember me?"